We're starting chapter 6 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, called The Portkey. Harry felt as though he'd barely lain down to sleep in Ron's room when he was being shaken awake by Mrs. Weasley. "Time to go, Harry, dear," she whispered, moving away to wake Ron. Harry felt around for his glasses, put them on, and sat up. It was still dark outside. Ron muttered indistinctly as his mother roused him. At the foot of Harry's mattress, he saw two large, disheveled shapes emerging from the tangles of blankets. "It's time already," said Fred groggily. They dressed in silence, too sleepy to talk. Then, yawning and stretching, the four of them headed downstairs into the kitchen. Mrs. Weasley was stirring the contents of a large pot on the stove, while Mr. Weasley was sitting at the table, checking a sheaf of large parchment tickets. He looked up as the boys entered and spread his arms so they could see his clothes more clearly. He was wearing what appeared to be a golfing sweater and a very old pair of jeans, slightly too big for him, and held up with a thick leather belt. "What do you think?" he asked anxiously. "We're supposed to go incognito. Do I look like a muggle, Harry?" "Yeah," said Harry, smiling. "Very good."
"Where's Bill and Charlie and Percy?" said George, failing to stifle a huge yawn.
"Well, they're apparating, aren't they?" said Mrs. Weasley, heaving a large pot over to the table and starting to ladle porridge into bowls. "So they can have a bit of a lie-in." Harry knew that apparating meant disappearing from one place and reappearing almost instantly in another, but he'd never known any Hogwarts student to do it and understood that it was very difficult.
"So they're still in bed," said Fred grumpily, pulling his bowl of porridge toward him. "Why can't we apparate too?"
"Because you're not of age and you haven't passed your test," snapped Mrs. Weasley. "And where have those girls got to?" She bustled out of the kitchen, and they heard her climbing the stairs.
"You have to pass a test to apparate?" Harry asked.
"Oh, yes," said Mr. Weasley, tucking away the ticket safely into the back pocket of his jeans. "The Department of Magical Transportation has had to fine a couple of people the other day for apparating without a license. It's not easy, apparition, and when it's not done properly, it can lead to nasty complications. This pair I'm talking about went and splinched themselves." Everyone around the table except Harry winced.
"Splinched?" Harry asked.
"They left half of themselves behind," said Mr. Weasley, now spooning large amounts of treacle onto his porridge. "So, of course, they were stuck. Couldn't move either way. Had to wait for the accidental magic reversal squad to sort them out. But if it meant a fair bit of paperwork, I can tell you what with the muggles who spotted the body parts they left behind." Harry had a sudden vision of a pair of legs and an eyeball lying abandoned on the pavement of Privet Drive.
"Were they okay?" he asked, startled.
"Oh, yes," said Mr. Weasley matter-of-factly. "They got a heavy fine, and I don't think they'll be trying it again in a hurry. You don't mess around with apparition. There are plenty of adult wizards who don't bother with it. Prefer brooms. Slower, but safer."
"But Bill and Charlie and Percy can all do it?"
"Charlie had to take the test twice," said Fred, grinning. "He failed the first time. Apparated 5 miles south of where he meant to. Right on top of some poor old deer doing her shopping, remember?"
"Yes, well, he passed the second time," said Mrs. Weasley, marching back into the kitchen amid hearty sniggers.
"Percy only passed 2 weeks ago," said George. "He's been apparating downstairs every morning just to prove he can." There were footsteps down the passageway, and Hermione and Ginny came into the kitchen, both looking pale and drowsy.
"Why do we have to be up so early?" Ginny said, rubbing her eyes and sitting down at the table.
"We've got a bit of a walk," said Mr. Weasley.
"Walk?" said Harry. "What, we are walking to the World Cup?"
"No, that's miles away," said Mr. Weasley, smiling. "We only need to walk a short way. It's just that it's very difficult for a large number of wizards to congregate without attracting muggle attention. We have to be very careful of how we travel at the best of times and on a huge occasion like the Quidditch World Cup."
"George!" said Mrs. Weasley sharply, and they all jumped.
"What?" said George, in an innocent tone that deceived nobody.
"What's that in your pocket?"
Nothing. Don't you lie to me. Mrs. Weasley pointed her wand at George's pocket and said, Acacio. Or, sorry, Axio, I guess it's. Axio.
Several small, brightly colored objects zoomed out of George's pocket. He made a grab for them, but missed. They sped right into Mrs. Weasley's outstretched hand. We told you to destroy them, said Mrs. Weasley furiously, holding up what were unmistakably more ton-tongued toffees. We told you to get rid of the lot. Empty your pockets. Go on, both of you. It was an unpleasant scene. The twins had evidently been trying to smuggle as many toffees out of the house as possible. It was only by using her summoning charm that Mrs. Weasley managed to find them all. Axio, 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 she shouted, and toffees zoomed from all sorts of unlikely places, including the lining of George's jacket and the turnips of Fred's jeans. We spent months developing those, Fred shouted at his mother as she threw the toffees away. Oh, a fine way to spend 6 months, she shrieked. No wonder you didn't get more owls. All in all, the atmosphere was not very friendly as they took to their departure. Mrs. Weasley was still glowering as she kissed Mr. Weasley on the cheek, though not nearly as much as the twins, who each hoisted their rucksacks on their backs and walked out without a word to her. We'll have a lovely time, said Mrs. Weasley, and behave yourselves, she called after the twins' retreating backs. But they did not look back or answer. I'll send Bill, Charlie, and Percy along around midday, Mrs. Weasley said to Mr. Weasley, as he, Harry, Ron, Hermione, and Ginny all set off across the dark lawn after Fred and George. And I think we will stop there for tonight. I hope you like that, my boo. That was a little taste of the next chapter. I miss you so much. You're the sweetest girl ever. I hope you have a nice night in South Bend. And I'll talk to you tomorrow. Good night, lover.